At the moment, there's certainly an increasing interest in electronic music, music that is produced by electronic oscillators.
Think of a sound, now make it. Any sound is now possible. Any combination of sounds is now possible.
For something that's always been dubbed the sound of the future, electronic music has a history that stretches as far back as rock and roll. For a long time, it was dismissed as avant-garde and on the fringes of what people accepted as music. However, it has slowly crept into pop culture, almost being introduced to audiences by stealth. In 1956, as Chuck Berry was telling Beethoven to move over to make way for a new craze called rock and roll, a young Leslie Nielsen was making his first starring role in the cult sci-fi classic Forbidden Planet.
Marion!
Didn't bring my bathing suit.
What's a bathing suit?
Oh, murder.
Apart from the odd plot, the film was an outer space version of Shakespeare's The Tempest, Forbidden Planet could claim to have the first all-electronic film score. Throughout the 1940s and 50s, early electronic music instruments such as the theremin were used to create that eerie, otherworldly, intense effect that helped build a sense of isolation and uncertainty for the viewer. And by the 1960s, these weird sounds were being transmitted into people's homes as the likes of the BBC were using new technologies in their sound effects unit, the Radiophonic Workshop, on shows such as Doctor Who. By the mid-1960s, even the rock kids were beginning to experiment with electronic sounds.
I'm picking up good vibrations. She's giving me the excitations. Ooh, I'm picking up good vibrations. She's giving me the excitations.
And by the early 70s, instruments such as the Mini Moog were taking a leading place in the emerging sounds of the time in bands such as Yes, Emerson, Lake and Palmer, Genesis and Pink Floyd. The mid-70s marked almost a second coming for the electronic music revolution, as the work of artists such as Brian Eno and Kraftwerk pointed to a new future. This repetitive, heavy, urban drone sound had a huge influence on the reinvention of how pop music would sound as the synth went on to conquer the 1980s. If electronic music has always been about the future, today's show is about the present, the here and now, as we catch up with some of the best producers making electronic music in Ireland today.
I think the most interesting space, particularly in Irish music at the moment, is deep electronica, and that's where the real punk rock is happening. These are guys coming home after work or whatever and just making tunes.
Anyone can make electronic music. It's just the most accessible thing. It's the most accessible. Like, you don't need to learn an instrument to be able to do it. You don't need to know how to play the piano. You don't need to have any kind of musical background at all.
We're not cool, we're geeks. We're just computer geeks sitting in a room playing with oscillators or something.
People want to dance because they want to have fun, you know? As long as people want to have fun, there'll be an audience for electronic music.
So let's see why such music grips us, what it does to us psychologically, and how our brains are affected.
Electric language.
Here it comes.
Example one.
No, I'm no great hand with a harp. But give me me old fiddle, and I'd play you a tune worth going a mile aground to hear.
The Prodigy were pioneers of electronic music back in the 1990s, being one of the first dance acts to cross over into the mainstream. Liam Howlett and friends made a huge impression on a young Rory Lynch, aka Bantam, when his mum brought him and his brothers to Páirc Uí Chaoimh for a gig in August 1996.
Let me hear you sing it out!
first electronic act I saw really were the Prodigy. I went to see Oasis as a kid in Cork, in Páirce Craoimh. Like, my mum took myself and my two younger brothers, who were very young at the time, so fair dues to mum. The bootleg Beatles opened and then the Prodigy came on, and I didn't have a clue who they were, but they just blew my little mind open, you know. I couldn't believe it. And they were swearing as well, which was great. And mum had the hands on the brothers' ears and stuff. So that, you know, that was my first exposure to it. Through that, like, mum and dad, you know, they throw in these random tapes into the car. You know, we'd have the usual Queen and U2 and all that stuff, but they had, like, one thing that I remember now was Electronic. It was that side project with what's his name from the Smiths, Johnny Marr and Bernard Sumner. So yeah, that was a really early memory, just like driving around Kerry on holidays, but and dad would throw that in randomly.
Bantam, a lot of producers working in Ireland today started out in rock bands. Kildare band Super Extra Bonus Party released two albums, but have been on an indefinite hiatus since 2011. Gavin Elstad played drums and guitar in the outfit, but over the past couple of years, he's been working on his own solo electronic project, Adult Rock. So how has the transition been from band member to solo performer?
Absolutely terrifying, you know, because in Bonus Party I had seven other people to either tell me my idea was great or crap, you know, and in other bands, even in smaller bands, you'd have like three or four people telling you your idea is great or crap, whereas when you're on your own, it's up to you.
And instead of sitting in a garden shed with other band members working out a lyric or a lead line or a bass line, the producer usually sits alone in a bedroom trying to figure out tracks. Gavin runs through how he starts a track from scratch.
It changes, I think. Mainly I would start with just, I'd say maybe an 8-bar loop of a melody or something like that, or a synth line. It's generally always the melody, and just for a place marker, I'd always put, same again, an 8-bar loop of just the kick drum. Just to see how the loop fits with it, like the melodic loop fits with it. Change things from there, add effects, take away effects, change the pitch, do absolutely anything. But those are, they're generally the two things that I would go to first. I mean, it changes every time. I could start with a drum loop if I found something that was interesting, and then try and fit a melody around it. Then just kind of build on that loop. Like, add and take away elements. And then when I get something that I really like, try and structure it, but strip it back and find out what works.
Doug Murphy has been making electronic music since the 1990s, first as one half of Ambulance and now under the alias Sunken Foal. Over those years, advances in technology have made it much easier to produce music, but this hasn't always been good for creativity.
All the music I made in Ambulance years ago was all a big mixing desk and synthesizers and samplers, and trying to perform it all live onto a little DAT recorder or whatever we had to record it with. And then it all got computers and really high tech and luxury of all this, you know, scope. And then I'm finding that I'm making better music these days going back to minimizing the amount of gear I'm using, or just putting a few limitations like we used to have. And I find you're kind of pushed. You push your creativity a little bit more that way. There was a track called Buchel Derg that I made that was very much just kind of arpeggiators and old synthesizers and a mixing desk and some effects, and not really getting into the computer at all, just trying to avoid looking at anything and just hearing everything that I could and touching it with my fingers as opposed to like with a mouse, you know, that sort of way.
Wicklow Dublin duo Sulla Bears have been at the forefront of the local music scene for the past few years and are currently working on their third studio album. Similar to Sunken Fold, the lads are slowly reverting to a more old-style way of recording. Here's Rian from the band.
We've just started writing album three, and up to now we've been using Pro Tools, which is, you know, industry standard audio production software, and you can do so much things with it, you know, editing and sound manipulation are endless with Pro Tools, but disadvantages with that is you have so many options. You kind of feel safe with your decision because you know you can change it. And one of the things we're doing now is we're tracking straight onto tape machines, you know. And the great advantage with tape is you only really get, you know, 3-4 times to record your stuff at most before it starts to degrade and dull. So it just forces you to make decisions, you know, make important decisions before you've even considered recording them, which we found to be really interesting because the decisions are very different purely based on the fact that this is the way it's going to be now and we have to commit to them. So it's great to have that pressure, yeah.
Songwriters draw on personal experiences in their lives, ideas, beliefs, values, hopes, struggles when writing songs. But where does an idea start for an electronic producer? We'll hear from Cork musician Ian Ring from Young Wonder in a minute, but first, here's Sunken Fold again.
I think when I listen to music, I very rarely get an idea to make music. It's the sort of two separate things, and it's a real recreation to listen to music. But it's usually the best stuff, I think, is when you're actually there holding a banjo or you're playing with a drumstick and something, and born out of experimentation of the actual musical object, I always find is the best thing, rather than coming up with some huge scheme. It's sort of sometimes better that way, you know, just fiddling with something and going, oh, that could go there and that could go there, and let it all spawn that way. Yeah, well, I remember the first track, which is called My Friends Have Lost Their Way, I think. And I was going through an old directory and found that this just chord sequence that I'd written 10 years ago, I think. And I was like, oh, that's nice. That would work well with this sound that I've been messing around with a mandolin lately. So just kind of mashing them together, and that leads me on to go, oh, I have this sample of George Harrison. I wonder, and like squash it in and just keep pushing till it works, that sort of way.
I think certain elements are to you. I like using a lot of like weird Indian percussion and Indian samples and flutes and congas and all ethnic percussion. I was over in Asia this year, and then we went to Cambodia, Laos, Vietnam and all these places, and just like, it was just, you see people playing in the streets or whatever, and I take out my phone, I went to sample it. It's like, just, it's so cool. Like, I love all that stuff.
Ian from Cork-based duo Young Wonder on where ideas come from when writing tracks, and Ian mentioned sampling there, and the idea of taking a portion of one sound recording and reusing it as an instrument or a sound recording in a different song is nothing new, with experimental musicians pioneering the technique as far back as the 1940s. The practice has become much more common though in popular culture over the past 30 years, with Vanilla Ice enjoying a number one hit as far back as 1990 when he sampled this David Bowie Queen song. Turned it into this, a massive global smash hit.
Yo, Vanilla, kick it one time, boy.
Yo, VIP. Let's kick it.
Kilkenny-based producer Peter Lorre, a.k.a. Replete, often retreats to his own record collection in search of a sample when he's looking to spark up a new idea.
sometimes I'll just sit down and go through my records and just start sampling my records and make a big folder, and then I'll just go back to it the next day and see what's working and see what's not working. One of the first ever records I bought was this old Palenque record from music from Colombia, and I just one day about 2 months ago I just sampled a lot of it, and I just opened that file for the first time the other day, and there was just this one loop that I was like, oh, that's really cool, and it was around like 115 BPM, which is like a nice slow house tempo. So I was like, oh, I could turn this into like kind of an edit or my own house track, and I did it in like 10 minutes.
No matter where ideas come from, it's always important to store that idea before it escapes. Dubliner Simon Cullen is involved in a number of electronic projects, including Laser Tom, which started life out as an idea of doing a re-edit of the Frankie Goes to Hollywood classic, Two Tribes. Here's Simon on the importance of capturing those ideas.
Things come out of nowhere sometimes, you know. I keep my phone close to recording like any ideas for melodies or beats or whatever. But before I had a phone, I didn't have a dictaphone like years ago. And what I used to do is I used to call my own message minder and leave myself a message of stuff. And then when I was back in a space where I could record it or play back the idea, I could quickly like listen to my own message and like make some kind of version of it, like where it was safe, and then delete the message.
To delete this message, press 7.
One thing all electronic producers have in common all around the world is their love for assembling an array of instruments and studio gadgets. Let's hear about some of their favourite bits of gear, starting with Rian from Solar Bears.
It's a really hard question. No, it's actually an easy question. It's the Electron Octatrack, which is a sampler they released a few years ago, and it's just so dexterous and powerful. For instance, you know, we get a record and play, you know, something orchestral, for instance, and have a flute line that we find on the record. In the Octatrack, you can slice it up and pitch it around and randomize a sequence so that it essentially turns this thing into something completely different. And highly usable every time. Yeah, it's a wonderful machine though.
So time to get that Ableton demo on your PC and have a go. In the meantime, let's wrap up by hearing from some of our producers talking about their favourite part of making music.
Finishing it is my favourite part, and starting it. It's what happens in the middle, like things get confusing.
Ooh, my favourite part of making music. I think there's one moment when you're writing a song and it's just like, you know what you're doing is right. It just, everything kind of comes together. It's like, it's the jigsaw without any pieces, you know what I mean?
Just the point in the process when you start kind of nodding your head without really realizing it, or, you know, making some sort of really stupid move that if anybody else in the room is looking at you, you'd be incredibly embarrassed.
Definitely the best feeling is finishing something. It's escapism. That's, you know, for us, that's what it is. We get to have time out of mind. So when we're in the studio making a track, that's pretty much as good as it gets.